in, that we breathe God's Spirit in, but we also are called to breathe Him out into the world that so desperately needs Him. And for me, I guess this time, for all of us, me included, because I hope God speaks to me as well, is that we would be people who at this point take a deep breath and just breathe in, inhale. Take something of the Lord on board. Allow Him to come into you, to fill your lungs, to refresh you, to bring newness, to bring wholeness, to, you know, expand you and to grow you and to heal you, that as we come and we breathe in. But we're called to breathe in order that we will breathe out. So let's just think about breathing in. But when you're coming away, I just was thinking about some of the stuff that maybe would be good for us to think about, to look at. And I read this really beautiful quote from Catherine Booth, who was married to William Booth, they were the founders of the Salvation Army. And she said this: if we want to change the future, we must disturb the present. If we want to change the future, we must disturb the present. And so I'm sitting in my car driving along thinking, God, what are you saying? And I actually felt that in many ways God wants to disturb your present. And the very fact that you've allowed time to get away and to hear for Him is probably a little bit of an indicator that you may be open to Him disturbing your present. But He doesn't disturb in a kind of really weird way, unless you're Jonah and you're running away from that. He will then throw you off a boat into a mouth of a whale. But we're here. And so we're saying, God, we're here because we want you to disturb our present. And I want to talk about prayer this weekend. And one of the things that I've learned is this, that you don't get people to pray by making them feel guilty. Okay? That we don't pray enough, you don't pray enough, you need to pray more. If you don't pray, hundreds of people are going to hell. If you don't pray, your church isn't going to grow. If you don't pray, you know, it's like such a bad, it's a bad vibe to kind of put that on people. It's not necessarily true. I read this from Richard Foster, who's written a number of really beautiful books on the devotional life and on prayer. He said this: real prayer comes not from gritting our teeth, but from falling in love. Real prayer comes not from gritting our teeth, but from falling in love. And so my hope, my desire is that by the end of this weekend, we're just that little bit more in love with God. You know, and it's not like I want to take Jesus on a date. Do you know what I mean? But it is that sense of deep love of God. Deeper understanding of who He is, deeper understanding of what He has for us. And so that's my heart, that's my passion for this weekend. So this Ephesians 3, I'm only going to share really short tonight because everybody's like, I'm tired, you're tired, we're all tired. And I was only told to do 10 minutes and I have two problems. One is I waffle, one is I get really easily distracted. And then if you do both of those together, I just don't know where I've gone with my talk or anything. And I'm like, that's why I have notes, but they're more of kind of like guidelines and something I kind of like work with strongly. My wife and I, I'm on a teaching team of a church in Belfast, Northern Ireland. I'm originally from there. If you spotted the accent, you're good. Okay, because I've also lived in Norfolk and I've also lived in Essex, and that has all messed with my accent. And some people sometimes say they think I'm from the West Country. I've never been there. Went there a couple of times. You know, there were just sheep and stuff, and I didn't want a lot to do. You know, so I'm not. Sorry. Are you from the West Country? Oh, look, had to alienate half the audience. Sorry. It's a beautiful place. It was lovely. It was picturesque. It was sunny. It was beautiful. Anyway, where were we? See what I mean? I've started already. So that's my accent. How was I talking about? Yeah, my wife and I, I'm on a teaching team of a church in Belfast called Strandtown CFC, and I have to speak there once a month. And I went with my wife last time, and she wrote the sermon, and we were doing it in two different congregations, so I just nicked her notes. But then I was like, I got in a real muddle because it was just too much writing. And I ended up like thinking, oh my goodness, how does she do this? She must just stand there and read. So don't expect that from me, but do expect that maybe God will speak anyway. And He also speaks from lots of writing as well, by the way. I've got two sons. I've got a 17-year-old son and a 20-year-old son. One of them's at university at UEA doing international development studies. And the other one is in the midst of his A-level, last year of his A-levels. He wants to go and do law. okay? So I'm kind of like coming out the other end of being a parent. No, I know you're still a parent, sorry, but you know, like the needy end. I hope I'm not going to be a grandparent too soon. And anyway, so let's look at Ephesians 3 really briefly. Just want to just touch on something whilst we're here. Remember, real prayer comes not from gritting our teeth, but from falling in love. And this is Paul speaking to the church at Ephesus, or speaking to the reader. I often find that's easier if you think the reader, and we are the readers. So Paul says this in Ephesians 3 verse 17. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Isn't that beautiful? I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together of all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. This love that surpasses knowledge. What is knowledge? Well, knowledge goes a bit like this. Why, when, how, where, what, if. You know, it's all our questions. Love that goes beyond our questions. Love that goes beyond our thoughts. Love that impacts us deeply. That we would know that love. So Paul's prayer is this, that we would be deeply rooted and established in love. What's really beautiful there is he uses a botanical analogy and an architectural analogy. So to be rooted is very simple. It's in the Greek, it means to be rooted. Okay, so it means to have deep roots, for our roots to go down. And so, and he also says to be grounded. Now, the grounded one is a little bit different because they use established or founded. The best word is founded. It's an architectural term for having deep foundations. So what Paul is basically saying is that you would be, I pray, that you would be like a well-rooted tree and a firm standing building in love. That you would be deeply rooted and grounded in love. And what does that mean? Well, we all need deep roots and firm foundations in a world that doesn't have deep roots and firm foundations. And God is calling each one of us to go deeper, be more deeply rooted in him, and have firmer foundations in him. I, every year, try and plant my Christmas tree. You know, you ever buy a Christmas tree and think, I wonder if that would grow if I put it in the garden. 99.9%, I've got one in the garden at the minute, it's doing well, but every year it dies. You know what I mean? It just dies. It's fine, it's really fun, because I've got sons and they really burn really well as well when you set them on fire. And if you dare someone to hold it while it's going on fire, anyway, there's no children present, but it's a fun thing to do, burn a Christmas tree. The reason it dies is because it does not have deep roots. The reason it dies is because its roots are not deep. And we will soon shrivel up and die if we are not rooted in love. If we're rooted in works, if we're rooted in some sort of, you know, challenge that we have to achieve, if we're rooted in I want to be this and I want to be that, if we're rooted in ambition, if we're rooted, you know, there's so many different things that we can become rooted in. But God, Paul is praying that we would be rooted, that where we get our sustenance from, that where we draw our nurture from, where everything comes from, it comes from love, that our roots would go deep into love. You see, because a well-rooted tree will produce fruit. A well-rooted tree will provide shade for others. A well-rooted tree will not blow away in a storm. A well-rooted tree can survive dry times. And Paul's prayer is that we would be deeply rooted in love. And then he says that we would be deeply rooted and grounded in love. We built a two-story extension on the side of our house. The foundations that you put in, the groundwork, the footings, are so much deeper than if you build a conservatory. And if you're building a skyscraper, you have to go down deep. And so what Paul is saying is not only would we be nourished, but would our foundations go deep into love. So that whatever this world throws at us, we won't be shaken. Because we're grounded in love. And there's a lot out there that's going to shake us. But we need to understand that we're grounded in love. John Stott, who's a theologian, he says this. He says that when Paul is praying that we would be deeply rooted and established in love, that we get the word root also means radical. And the word grounded also means fundamental. And that's when it gets a bit scary. That we would be radical fundamentalists. But the radical fundamentalism for which we were known would be love. You know, we live in a lot of, we see a lot of radical fundamental stuff out there. But the radical fundamentalism of the church has always got to be love. Not our opinion on what people shouldn't be doing. Not our opinion on this, that and the other. It's always got to be love. It's always got to be love. And then that we would grasp how wide, how deep, how long, how high is his love. And so my prayer really is that we would be deeply rooted and grounded in love. And I think if just at the beginning of our time together, I'd like to say this, that God loves you. And I know I've come a long way and you think that's a really simple, simple message. But it is the simplicity of it that we need to keep coming back to, that we are loved. That God is incredibly tender towards us. He is tender towards you. He actually is fond of you. He doesn't just love you, he's fond of you. He thinks you're funny, but not in a weird way. There's a fondness, you know. His grace, he likes us. He likes you, you know. And it's understanding that tenderness, that fondness, that deep love that he has for you. That Psalm 139 cries out that when you were born, God smiled. And when he looks on you, he still smiles. And his desire and his heart and his pleasure is that you would be deeply rooted and you would be deeply grounded in that sense of his love, in the reality of his love. You know, you meet people and you see them and you know that they know that they're loved. They know that they're loved. I am a little bit of a cock up as a person. Do you understand? I've done loads of things wrong. I still get loads of things wrong. From the front, I've said random things that have upset people. I do all sorts of things wrong. And, you know, and I have road rage, not in a bad way. I've never got out and hit anyone, but you know what I mean? You generally make mistakes on quite a regular basis. But I'll tell you this, God loves me. It doesn't excuse my behavior. I do have to get it sorted, but God loves me. And there's that beautiful line from Philip Yancey, isn't there, that there is nothing you can do to make God love you more. And there's nothing you can do to make God love you less. There's nothing you can do to make God love you more. And there's nothing you can do to make God love you less. And so just want to pray. Is that okay? That's my heart. That if we're going to talk about prayer, we have to talk about love. And it's not about guilt. It's about, I just want to be with the person who loves me the most. I just want to be with the person who understands me the most. I just want to be deeply rooted. I just want to draw my nourishment from the person who loves me the most. I just want to be founded, grounded, strong in the one who loves me the most. And it's this desire to be with the one who loves us in which prayer is truly born. And which prayer becomes a life journey, more than a conversation, more than a wish list. It becomes a relationship of understanding he's fond of us and he loves us. So I'm just going to pray. Father, I thank you for being here with this wonderful group of people who have traveled a long way to be here through wind and rain and ferries and car journeys and all the other bits and bobs. And we've all been busy and we had busy weeks and we've got stuff to do and we get back and there's loads of things going on. And I just pray that we would breathe in. And I just pray that we would understand how much you love us. So Holy Spirit, come right now. Come right now. That your love that surpasses all knowledge would come and meet with us. Our questions about our future, our questions about our past, our questions about the present. Come and bypass all of that and touch us with your love. Touch us with your love.
that we would be deeply rooted and grounded in your love. Come, Holy Spirit.
Amen. Well, thank you, everyone. We are drawn to a close now, this part of the evening. Just encourage you over the weekend to make use of this space for prayer. Yeah. Get together, grab one another. You know, come into this place and use it, not just to write on the walls and to put some thoughts down, but to yeah. But just really make use of this space for this weekend. So enjoy the rest of your evening. Look forward to seeing you all for breakfast in the morning. Amen.